Blog Talk Radio.
Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is Dr. Gregory Thompson, an expert on many of the Eucharistic miracles proving the real presence of Jesus in the consecrated host. Tonight, Dr. Thompson will lead an in-depth examination of one of these Eucharistic miracles. Here now is Dr. Thompson.
Well, welcome to Deeper Truth. The Eucharistic miracle of St. Angela of Foligno. And Greg is not here right at the moment. He's doing Deeper Truth important work. And so, but we will go ahead. And I'm going to read something here out of John chapter 6, because it's kind of very important to go with the Eucharistic miracle that we're going to be talking about, that we're going to be explaining here. And this is coming from St. John. And this is known as the Bread of Life Discourse. And it's important. Jesus said to those who were challenging him, he said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. And all that the Father gives me will come to me, and him who comes to me I will not cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." And this bothered the Jews that was listening to Jesus. They were murmuring amongst themselves, saying, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And then they go into, "Well, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Well, they did not know. And thank you, Lord, for your holy Catholic faith, your holy Catholic Church that has presented and preserved the fullness of this teaching. Jesus would respond to them. He said, "Truly and truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not such as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. This is what Jesus is referring to. He's referring to the Eucharist. At the Last Supper, Jesus offered the Eucharist, the first Mass, which the Catholic Church has presented for 2,000 years plus ever since, so that when we go up to receive this heavenly bread, the bread of angels, the priest will say, the body of Christ. And we respond, amen, very true. Not because of magic, but because it is God ordained. Jesus himself mandates it. And so now, and that's just delves right into the Eucharistic miracle of Saint Angela of Foligno. And there's many miracles of this, such as this. Many, many, many Eucharistic miracles. And Greg, he may show up here a little bit later. I'm not sure. But if he does, if he, you know, he's fine because he is doing deeper truth work. And we're so thankful for Greg and what he does for us, whether it's on the show or meeting with bishops, meeting with priests, and, you know, setting up Ignite the Fire, all kinds of conferences that he's setting up. And so he's always on the road. So we're thankful for what he is doing. And pray, go with Godspeed, and I'll be looking for you. And if you're able to make it, that's great. But if not, that's okay. We will go ahead and get into this story. The Eucharistic Miracle, Angela of Foligno. When Angela had visions of the Eucharist, she would see the host radiating such luminous beauty. It surpassed the splendor of the sun. At another time, there appeared two most splendid eyes. The host, looking at her. She was also gifted with a vision of the Eucharist, where the child Jesus appeared in the host, splendidly dressed, majestically seated on a throne. So passionately was she consumed by the Eucharist. One day she cried out. She wished she could receive communion every day. Angela reported that after her soul experienced herself vessel within the Holy Trinity, the
was able to understand that Jesus was everywhere in the Eucharist, in the Word, and everyone he met. But when her soul asked the Lord, why did she feel closer to him in the ciborium? The Lord responded that it was because through the priest's words of consecration, he dealt inside the ciborium. And he added, it was a special miracle that this comes to pass. Another time, as the priest raised the host, she heard the Father say, behold the man who was crucified. And with the eyes of her soul, she saw Jesus. At another time, during the consecration, when the priest raised the host, she saw Jesus descending down upon the altar, accompanied by a host of angels. With one vision of God, King of the universe, displaying his power, and involved in all of his creation. Priest raised the host. She saw Jesus descending down upon the altar, accompanied by a host of angels. With one vision, or the one vision of God, King of the universe, displaying his power and involvement in all of his creation, she was so enthralled with his divine presence. Her soul cried out, if you want faith, pray. If you want hope, pray. If you want charity, pray. If you want poverty, pray. If you want obedience, pray. If you want chastity, pray. If you want humility, pray. If you want meekness, pray. If you want fortitude, pray. If you want any virtue, pray. And St. Angela is said to have had many such mystical revelations. No one can be saved without divine light. Divine light causes us to begin and to make progress. And it leads us to the summit of perfection. Therefore, if you want to begin and to receive this divine light, pray. If you have begun to make progress, pray. And if you have reached the summit of perfection and want to be super eliminated so as to remain in that estate, pray. If you want faith, pray. If you want hope, pray. If you want charity, pray. If you want poverty, pray. If you want obedience, pray. If you want chastity, pray. If you want humility, pray. If you want meekness, pray. If you want fortitude, pray. If you want any virtue, pray. And pray in this fashion, always reading from the Book of Life. That is, the life of the God-man, Jesus Christ, whose life consisted of poverty, pain, contempt, and true obedience.
at Christmas in 1308, St. Angela told her companions she would die shortly. A few days later, she had a vision of Christ appearing to her and promising to come personally to take her to heaven. And she died in her sleep on 3 January 1309. And she, for 13 years, lived on the Eucharist solely. Her love for the Eucharist and our Lord gave her such. And Angela would say, I realized my sinfulness. I was seized with a great fear of being damned, and I shed a flood of tears. I went to confession to be relieved of my sins, but through shame, I concealed the most grievous ones. But still, I went to communion. Now my conscience tortured me day and night. I called upon St. Francis to help. And moved by an inner impulse, I went to a church where a Franciscan preacher was then preaching. I gathered courage to confess all my sins to him. And I did this immediately after the sermon. With zeal and perseverance, I performed the penance he imposed. But my heart continued to be full of bitterness and shame. I recognize that the divine mercy has saved me from hell. Hence, I resolved to do rigorous penance. Nothing seemed too difficult for me because I felt I belonged in hell. I called upon the saints and especially upon the Blessed Virgin to intercede with God for me. And I heard these words, My daughter, if you were to see my heart and would be absolutely obligated to do everything God wants, because my heart is God's heart and God's heart is mine. Excuse me. Hear St. Paul's words ring out. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. God permitted St. Angela to be afflicted with severe and horrible temptations that greatly distressed her soul. The fire of the sins of the flesh raged so furiously that she said, I would rather be surrounded with flames and continually roasted than to give in to such things. She called out to God, Glory to thee, O Lord. Your cross is my resting place. These painful trials lasted for over 2 years, but then the purified and tested servant of the Lord was filled with great consolations. Angela obtained a marvelous insight into divine things and was very frequently found in ecstasy. For many years, Holy Communion, 13 years, was her only food, until at last, completely purified, she entered into heaven on January 4, 1309, after many years of Holy Communion being her only food. On October the 9th, 2013, Pope Francis canonized St. Angela, recognizing that the King of Heaven was her glory. And Blessed Angela said, to know oneself and to know God, that is the perfection of man. Without this knowledge, visions and the greatest gifts are of no account. And Pope Innocent XIII beatifies Angela in 1693, and again on October the 9th, 2013, Pope Francis declared her a saint. She is the patron of those afflicted with sexual temptation, as well as widows. And so, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And St. Angela believed this with all her heart. And the Lord showed her. And there's a picture of her receiving the Eucharist from the hands of an angel. And how wonderful it is to receive the actual body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. This is powerful. And Jesus is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And if you could receive him throughout the week, as St. Angela would say, she said, I wish I could receive the Eucharist every day. Well, for some, that is possible. If you could make it to daily Mass, go. And you notice how she went to confession, but she withheld some sins. And then she went to communion, and she felt sorrow for that. She realized that was a grave sin. And so she went to confession again, another time, where she confessed everything. And this time, those chains just dropped to the floor, which opened up for her that bouquet of roses that just opens up. Her faith blossomed. And that's why it's important to go to confession. If you have mortal sin, go to confession. Go to confession often. The Lord takes the sins that you confess, and he throws them into the sea of forgetfulness, and he remembers them no more. And you receive a judgment of mercy, just as St. Angela here did. And you receive the Eucharist. You receive the actual body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus Christ, the same Jesus who was born of the Virgin Mary and suffered under Pontius Pilate. The same Jesus. We all have that chance. We all have, it's a calling, not a privilege. It's a calling. Jesus calls us. Come, follow me. Can you hear him? Come, follow me. Anima Christi. Donna Corey Gibson, a great Catholic artist and singer, with Anima Christi.
Passion of Christ.
And I have Greg. Greg.
I'm there.
How are you doing?
Yes. How's everyone?
Have you? Oh, it's great. The Eucharistic miracle of St. Angela of Foligno. Have you been listening at all? Have you been able to hear any of this? I know you've been out
about. I just got on. Just saw to see if I could hear you all and everything.
Okay. Well, first of all, you know the story. You know of John chapter 6, the Bread of Life discourse. I know you know that very well.
Yes.
And
what about
I know.
It?
Well, I started off with that because I thought that it would lead right into St. Angela of Foligno. And now I'm going to just share this little piece right here. And this is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so, this is important here. Whoever therefore eats the bread of or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. And so let a person examine themselves, and then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. And why is that important with St. Angela? St. Angela, in her testimony, she received the Eucharist in a state of sin. She went to confession, but she did not give a complete confession. She withheld some of it. And in withholding it, she went to communion. And she felt such guilt about that. And then she went to confession with another Franciscan preacher from St. Francis. And this time she laid it all out on the line. And the sins, like shackles, dropped to the floor when the priest gave her absolution this time. And then for 13 years, our Lord gave her, where she received the Eucharist, for 13 years solely on the Eucharist. And so, Greg, I know you've heard of miracles of this such before, but ain't that wonderful? And it doesn't go with John chapter 6, the Bread of Life discourse. Her faith was strong, and our Lord gave her that miracle of receiving the Eucharist for 13 years. Solely on the Eucharist. And there's been a number of saints where this miracle has occurred. But it's beautiful how this ties the importance of going to confession and making a good confession and then receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ at Mass with a pure heart, clean conscience, and conversion. That is so important. And Greg, how you been doing, man?
I'm really doing better than wonderful. Just came back today, and then I went out, I guess, somewhere. After I sat down, I evidently went out. I woke up at 8:16. I said, "Oh my golly, we'll be on the radio program." And I saw where you called, but I didn't hear it when I was out, you know. But anyway,
yeah,
here, got to be with y'all. God bless you. And that is awesome on the Eucharist, you know, and it's a they're always remarkable. And what it showed me really when you were reading that is how much he loves us. And even when we are, whenever we fail in our flesh, you know, that he still loved us enough that we had an opportunity to make our amends. But if we really look to the depth of that, it gives us the depth of how much he loves us, that God saw something that gave that person an allowance to make a good confession. And because they had bound themselves with shackles when they originally went improperly to communion, having not made a good confession. And, you know, this makes me think about that love of mercy that only comes from God, you know, that he's the only one that can do it, that can loosen things up for you, you know. And so it's, you know, I was fortunate to be up at a church yesterday up in Herman, Missouri. And it was St. George. I'd heard of St. George, but I'd never been to a church named St. George before. And you know what the St. George is, I guess, want to say the mass in England,
yeah,
St.
George, yes, in England. And he's, you know, he killed the dragon slayer.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that was, to know that ahead of time was kind of fun, you know. They had a real good priest that, you know, wanted you to make, you know, you wanted to feel like saying amen when he got through with the homily. You could tell he was a dragon slayer, one of those priests that was a dragon slayer, you know. And
outstanding.
The reason I was up there, I took, for the first time since my children were born, the oldest being will be 53 in November, and the youngest will be 43 in December. And just pretty awesome to be with them since they've grown up and everything for the first time, just them and my wife and I. And we were able to have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we come back Monday together, and down at Herman. So it's like
Craig, this community. Is. No, it sounds like it. This sounds. I'm going to share this with you because this is something. When Angela had visions of the Eucharist. Now think about this. She had visions of the Eucharist. She would see the host radiating such luminous beauty. It surpassed the splendor of the sun. At another time, there appeared two most splendid eyes in the host looking at her. Now, can you imagine that there, Greg? If you're looking really close at the Eucharist and you see these two eyes looking at you, that would be kind of pretty wild.
It would be, and you know, I just wonder sometimes on something like that is how many people need to, because of our frail human condition, how many times it would be an awesome thing for them to actually see two eyes in the Eucharist in today's culture. I can't imagine anybody ever changing their walk to eternity after seeing something like that.
Well, and we've seen this before elsewhere, but she also was gifted with a vision of the Eucharist, where the child Jesus appeared in the host. Now we've been elsewhere at other places where Jesus appeared in the host as a child. We've seen that a number of times.
Yeah.
Splendidly dressed, majestically seated on a throne. So passionate was St. Angela, consumed by the Eucharist. One day she cried out, she wished she could receive communion every day. And we promote that here at Deeper Truth. If you can go to if you can go daily, go, if you can. And so that's a great opportunity to be able to do that, where they have Eucharistic adoration or where they have daily Mass. Wow. And Angela also reported that after her soul experienced itself nestled within the Holy Trinity, can you imagine that? She found herself there in the midst of the Holy Trinity. Her soul was able to understand that Jesus was everywhere in the Eucharist, in the Word, and in everyone she met. But then her soul asked the Lord, why did she feel closest to him in the ciborium? And the Lord responded that it was because through the priest's words of consecration, he dwelt inside the ciborium. And he added it was by a special miracle that this comes to pass through the consecration. So that's pretty interesting, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Another time as the priest raised the host, she heard the Father say, behold the man who was crucified. And with the eyes of her soul, she saw Jesus. At another time, during the consecration, when the priest raised the host, she saw Jesus descending down upon the altar, accompanied by a host of angels. And that is, I have also envisioned in my mind that when the priest was up there, you know, consecrating the host, I see Jesus present. You know what I'm talking about, right, Greg? Standing there with Jesus, with the priest.
Enlighten me again on that, Donald.
When the priest is standing there with his arms up, or when he's elevating the host, elevating and consecrating the Eucharist, that Jesus is there present with him at the altar. Saints have said this.
Amen. Amen.
And she is saying, I'm talking about Angela, is saying that she saw our Lord standing there next to the priest. And she heard the priest say, behold the man who was crucified. And it's at that moment, which I do this, Greg, at the elevation of the Eucharist, I will say, I will lift up the King of Glory. I will lift up the King of Mercy. I will lift up the King of Salvation, my Lord and my God. And then when the priest elevates the cup of blessing, as St. Paul called it, I recall Psalms 113, verse 15. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord and my God. And so I love what St. Angela is giving us an image here, and that she saw Jesus when the priest raised the host. She saw Jesus descending down upon the altar, accompanied by a host of angels. That is like, wow, that's something. That's powerful.
Amen. Amen.
And this inspired her. This inspired her. This inspired her to say this. If you want faith, pray. If you want hope, if you want charity, pray. If you want poverty, pray. If you want obedience, pray. If you want chastity, pray. If you want humility, pray. If you want meekness, pray. If you want fortitude, pray. If you want any virtue, pray. And so, and St. Angela is said to have had received mystical revelations. And she said this, Greg, no one can be saved without divine light. Divine light causes us to begin and to make progress, and it leads us to the summit of perfection. Therefore, if you want to begin to receive this divine light, pray. Notice how often, how much she's saying pray. If you have begun to make progress, pray. And if you have reached the summit of perfection and want to be super illuminated so as to remain in that state, pray. If you want faith, pray. If you want hope, pray. Well, Greg, I don't think I could say it any better than she does here. What do you think?
I'd say she's got it covered. And, you know, and what is sad, and because it seems overly simplistic on how much the good Lord loves us enough to bring those things to light in our mind, you know, that, you know, wherever we are right now, wherever we are in our human condition, that the good Lord by prayer can take us closer to himself in the fullness of truth that we receive, you know, since before you can see his love, but when he instituted the Eucharist and gave us an opportunity to receive him totally in his body, blood, soul, and divinity when we receive communion and mass, how much he loves us and how much he loves all of our those that we meet every day, that, you know, we can say that and it sounds like such an easy thing to say, which it is. It's given us. The Lord makes it easy for us to be with him for eternity, and so many times we turn our backs on that, on his love, because he could help us see every day more and more his presence in our lives. And part of that enlightenment to us is when the scales come off of our eyes, when we actually seek the truth. You know, and it's something I told my daughters today, and I just told them all, I said, everybody stop for just a moment. I said, what I'm about to tell you is something that if you do it, it can change your life in a heartbeat and take off any residual scales that are on your eyes. And that is to ask the good Lord. And it's easy to hear and easy for us to say to please the other person and say, oh, yeah, I want that. But I said, he sees your heart. If you're willing to commit to just an element of what can make all this possible that we're hearing tonight, and that's to ask the good Lord for the truth. He sees your heart. It's easy to just say, I said, it's easy to say, yeah, I want to know the truth, Dad, talking to me. But I said, yeah. if you really want the truth, God sees your heart. You cannot fool him. You can't say it in a casual way if you want to. But if you want to seek the truth, he will bring it to you. He will never leave anyone an orphan that desires the truth. Anyone listening tonight that is sitting on the fence, hadn't got all the way there or anything yet in their walk to eternity, just ask the good Lord for the truth, because the truth will be the Lord himself, and the height and summit of that truth is that the good Lord is the body, blood, soul, and divinity, you know, and as it exists in the Eucharist, in the sacrament that he initiated himself to be with us until the end of time. And we have that opportunity every day, and to share that with those we love, you know, those listening tonight, share this program with those you really care about, and ask them to share it. Because when you do that, the thing that it is, if you think about it, when we share these things and bring people closer to the Lord, those same people will be touching your children, your grandchildren, those that you care about. So we should all be in that battle together and trying to bring everyone the good Lord himself puts into our path. That don't look at it as any accident when it happens, that the good Lord's put people in your path. And would you ever think about it, those listening tonight, would you ever want to stand before the good Lord at judgment and him having put someone in your path? And for all kinds of different ways in our flesh that make us weak, and not say anything to that person that was God himself put into your path, and they not make it into heaven because you decided to be silent as a part of our sin of not doing something, just like the sin of actual commitment. Yeah.
The sin of omission. The sin of omission.
And we do that. How many times have we done that in our lives? If you look about it, we should be very sad and ashamed of all the times we've done that in our lives. And I know I am, for the times I have lost out there because of, they might think I'm crazy or something. Let's say this. Or, you know, we just don't speak up. And, you know, I have to wonder how much influence on those things that comes from our own flesh, but also from a temptation of Satan. Don't say anything to them. They'll think something's wrong with you. You know, don't speak up. Well, we've got to have our faith and help it grow. And that's why these Eucharistic love of God and these miracles of the Eucharist should give us an opportunity to strengthen personally in our own walk, but also into the walk of those that we care about, you know. And
Blessed Angela of Foligno said this. She said this, and it kind of points to what you were saying there, Greg. She said, to know oneself is to know God. That is the perfection of man. Without this knowledge, visions and the greatest gifts are of no account. So we have to share it. We have to, you know, that faith that we, faith is a gift. And we're not designed, it was never intended that we bury it in the backyard, you know. You know, the issue of the talents, you know. Remember the story about the talents and this one guy was given 10? Well, you don't take your talent and bury it in the backyard. No. Because the Lord expects you to do something with it. And so that's exactly what you were referring to. Pope Innocent the 13th beatified St. Angela in 1693. And on October the 9th, 2013, Pope Francis declared her a saint. And she is the patron of those afflicted by sexual temptation, as well as widows. So we thank you, Lord, for the lives of these precious saints and the miracles that surround them. And so, when you're looking at the life of Blessed Angela of Foligno. She's pictured with an angel giving her Holy Communion. Now we know that that some, not very often, but some saints, some individuals, was given Holy Communion by angels. But that's not a, you should go to Mass. Go to Mass. And if you go to daily Mass, go. And receive the Eucharist. Body, blood, soul, divinity. And so.
That is a big amen for sure. And what a sad moment, because you can, and I would suggest that if we ask the same people at Mass on Sundays, and you could just stand up and say, how many of you went by to see the good Lord this week? You know, and the sadness of that is that in our communities, in our parishes, with what you see in our parishes, you see youth or age more in most parishes, don't you? You see a growing community of gray hair, right? And so really, even if it doesn't happen, if they can't for some reason get up and go every day, what a sadness that people miss so many opportunities to go to Mass. The good Lord is there. And, you know, that they don't take advantage of that and come and sit in his presence and as the Mass is performed, forwarding, but as they sit through Mass and are able to receive, and how many people that have things in their lives where they got to a retirement age and they're 5 minutes from a Catholic church and don't go by as often as they can. You know, I just look at it as it's a true sadness, you know, and I look at it in my own community where I am and with and this would be multiplied out probably to about every Sunday, probably saying 400 or 500 people going to Mass on Sundays where I live. For the Sunday Mass during the week, you might see maybe 10, you know, that come to visit the good Lord during the week. And what kind of sadness is that not to take advantage of a special gift by God? Not that it makes a person in sin if they don't go during the week, but how many more people, even in your own family, or those that God puts in your head, how much stronger can a person go that goes in for, so to speak, for their daily workout? You know, is their health going to be better if they, walk and work out every day? Or are they going to be more healthy by participation in that than just waiting once a week, you know?
And well, there's a story here from Pope Pius X. He was a pope from 1835. Well, from 1835 to 1914. He was the successor of Pope Leo XIII. When one day he was talking to a group of his cardinals there at the Vatican, They were out there in the square. And he posed this question to them as they were kind of gathered around talking, you know, that kind of thing. And he asked them, what is the need today to save society? And the group of cardinals began to deliberate this question. One responded, build Catholic schools. Another one cried out, build more churches. And yet another said, speed up the recruiting of priests. And then Pope Pius X took the opportunity to say, No, the most necessary thing of all at this time is for every parish to possess a group of laymen who will be at the same time virtuous, enlightened, resolute, and truly apostolic. Truly apostolic. And so I think that you were kind of hitting that there, Greg. I think that you were. Because the parish, the priest, if he has the support of faithful men in the parish, there will be people there at that daily mass. There will be people. It would grow.
Amen. Amen. So, well, Lord bless all of our people that are listening tonight, all of their families, and the ones that have so many times put themselves in their own time during the week to take these Eucharistic miracles out to others all around the world through this gift that we have today to be able to speak to someone from right here in Missouri or Kansas. We can speak to somebody in Africa or China, or the Soviet Union, or Europe. We can speak to people all around the world, and so what? You know, sometimes people make like, well, you know, I can do this, and you can do that, or whatever. But how a good Lord will look at it with a smile, even if only one person listening tonight had the light turn on and say, "Oh, now I get it." And it changed their life and their walk to eternity. It would be pleasing to a holy God. And to know that, and that you've been given that gift, listening, how much more to share that out of love first for someone who loved you way before you loved the good Lord, that he came while we were yet sinners in our lives and died for us and sacrificed himself to us, you know, for us. And if you look at that that special gift we have, and then to try to just keep it to ourselves, I don't know that we really think we ought to just stand before the Lord someday and think that, well, hey, why didn't you say something to Bob or Sally or someone that God put into your path standing right before you, and you kept it to yourself? You know,
Greg,
be looking for those opportunities. And I thank God we have this opportunity tonight and that we have an opportunity to challenge each other as well as the people listening to do all that they can, not the least that they can, but all that they can to bring others to the good Lord for eternity.
Amen. And, you know, Greg, I'm like one of those guys that Jesus performed a miracle or did something, and then Jesus told him not to say anything to him. No, don't say anything about that. And they went and told everybody. and then Jesus had a whole crowd on him, you know. But I'm kind of like one of those guys because it's hard. I can't hold it in either, you know. And so what is your motivation? Well, Greg, I do appreciate you for popping in. I'm glad you did. And
well,
God bless
you
today.
Sorry I was late, but...
And tomorrow, our stand in the gap tomorrow, our saint of the day tomorrow is Pope Saint Paul VI. So he's our stand in the gap tomorrow.
Yes,
and so...
Sir.
And so what a wonderful, and today what a joy it was to share the parents of St. Therese of Lisieux. Her parents were today. And man, that's a powerful story.
Amen.
So, well, it's that time, so great. Thank you so much. And we will see you next week. God bless you and all the deeper truth out there. God bless you all out there in deeper truth land. Pray the rosary and go to Mass. Go to confession, too.
I'm still doing right now like I try to start every day with Donald. And just listen, everyone listening out there today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you all my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day, for all the intentions of thy Sacred Heart, in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, in reparation for my sins, for the intentions of all our associates, and in particular for this month's special intentions. And if we say that, with an act of contrition, with the St. Michael prayer, and the different weapons the good Lord has given us to fight the wiles of Satan, who's more intelligent than we are, but in a heartbeat with the good Lord's presence in our lives, the wisdom that comes from God can make us invincible, so to speak, if we just stay close to him, because Satan's not going to come up to you. Stay close to the good Lord. he's going to run, and for the coward that he is. And pray. Just part of praying, like St. Angela has given us tonight, pray for everything in your life, the victories, the challenges that you have, and that the good Lord can strengthen you and make you, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me, right?
Yes.
And we have that potential on a daily basis out of love. The good Lord's not saying, well, hey, you got to be just like Donald. No. You be like yourself and be who God has made you to be and use your gifts and strengths. All of us have been given gifts, all of us. And, we don't want to, Satan would like you to just compare, well, hey, I can't talk like Don or somebody like that. I can't do that. Well, God didn't make everybody have the same gifts. You have a gift, though, that if you use what God's given you, someone that you know that he puts into your path could be the reason that they get to heaven for eternity. So it's not by our persuasive words, but it's by the whole action of the Holy Spirit working through us. So
amen.
Stand up and act up every day. Shout from the rooftops, guys. All right, Donald, I love you. God bless you. Thanks for all you do, Don, and talk to you soon.
And you too, Greg. All right, God bless you, and see you all. And we will close. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. May the most holy, most sacred, most adorable, most mysterious, and unutterable name of God be always praised, blessed, loved, adored, and glorified in heaven, on earth, and under the earth by all the creatures of God and by the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ in the most holy sacrament of the altar. Amen. And so we'll see
amen.
You next time. And so we'll close
amen.
With this song. Good night, everybody. Good night, Dick Greg.